Welcome to the West City Podcast. We hope you are encouraged by today's message. If you want to hear more podcasts, you can access them through the West City website found in the description link.
Rather than on this, all too often, this desperate need to be right about everything. The truth is, we could be right about some things. The resurrection, if we're right about that, we're in trouble. But you know what I mean? It's beautiful, thank you. We're talking about surprise the world. I'm going to tend to be a little bit more obvious in sort of upcoming months, looking at spiritual formation and discipleship around West City. And that's going to be great, and I'm thrilled to be able to do that, hopefully. I've got about another week of people who you can complain about that idea for about another week. And then I'll be sidelined, and but Bergman might come back. Anyway, so over to you. It's up to you what you do. Surprise the world. I just want to spend about 20 minutes or so talking about the idea of coming out of Michael Frost's book, but out of a lot of people's thinking, that how do we actually go about being missional? You know, if the mission of God is to really rejig the whole cosmos, and that's the mission of God. The mission of God begins at creation and ends at recreation. And how are we going to be part of that? And what we're saying is that God's at work in this world. You know, that lovely, brilliant Indigenous guy said, "You didn't bring God to the colony. He was already here. You brought the Bible to the colony." And that idea that God is always at work, and that you and I actually get to find what he is doing and then partner with him, which is a way better way to do it, rather than me tell both you and God what he is doing or what he should be doing, and then I co-opt my natural human abilities to be able to make that happen so that the mission of God will go forward. These things are chalk and cheese. The project of mission is a project that is a spiritual project that then is tied together with natural stuff anyway. Won't go on. But I do like this next. It's a picture of the Trinity, a sketch by William Blake, the old 100 years ago. A couple of hundred years ago, and I love it because it's I don't know whether you can tell that, but it's the dove and the Father and the Son. And what I love about this picture is the intimacy of it. That's what I love about it. The intimate love, if you like, to do Trinitarian theology, the intimate love of the Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, that you and I, as believers in Christ, are enfolded into that dynamic of love. And then you and I, in the mission of God, we try to live out that Trinitarian love. That's what mission's about. My bit today is about listen. But before I spend a few minutes on that, I found a video of Michael Frost talking about the gospel. It goes for 4 minutes, which I know is like an eternity nowadays. But I want to play it. It's just 4 minutes, and it's Michael Frost, and then I'll spend another 15.
Dualism has not only meant that we've separated body and spirit, and God loves our spirits and not our bodies. They're meant to be crushed and subdued, and our spirit unleashed. But we also got all these other dualisms, like, you know, church and world. And so, you know, you're not meant to be in the world, you're meant to be in the church. You know, God has sides on this. He likes our spirit, he likes church, he doesn't like the world, he doesn't like our bodies. Heaven and earth is another one. He has no concern for the earth. He just wants to take us off to some kind of heaven somewhere. And I just think those things create a reductionist understanding of what he had in mind. He actually had in mind redeeming our bodies. He had in mind that we would be sent out into the world, that in the world we would be helping to fashion the seeds of the world which is to come, that he's going to redeem this world, that to simply live in these binary spaces, bringing people out of the world into the church, out of earth into heaven, out of our bodies into our spirits, to me that's just hardly the story as Jesus modeled it for us. I mean, he touched lepers. Their physical healing was a demonstration of the reign of God, like the reign of God in their flesh. You know, he spoke to the outcast. His offer of acceptance and hospitality was a physical demonstration of what his world would be like. And so, yeah, I think God is at work in the world, and he's at work in the church. He works in our bodies and he works in our spirits. I just think that to separate them and to tell us that certain parts of our experience are off limits to him, like that to me is faithless. That limits the character and work of God. He wants to redeem my body. He wants to redeem this planet. He is sending us into the world. He wants us to actually create beautiful food, magnificent art, beautiful clothes. He wants us to conduct fabulous business. He wants us to show the world just what it looks like to enter into this kind of redemptive dream of a new world. And so, yeah, to make people afraid of the world, or to imagine that the earth is temporary, or that my body doesn't matter, that's just not the gospel.
Well, first, I don't think that's in the Bible either. And second, what does that have to do with that?
He talks for another couple of minutes. I like the earthiness of that. The thing that I wanted to mention out of that video was, see how he talks about the world? Now, I know, look, West City, we're so fortunate that we have a particular way of looking at things, which I just really appreciate and have done so ever since I first came here. This idea of the world is not us and them. It's really important to understand that. The idea of the mission of God is not an us and them prospect. It's an illogical thing to say if God is working in it. You see what I'm saying? If God is working in the world, if he is moving, right, then it's an absurdity to say, oh, the world, that's them, and then there's us, you know, the Christians, the favoured ones, you know, the ones who are somehow different. A lot to unpack there, and I won't try to unpack it all right now, but I think it's really important that we understand that. He says correctly that we are sent into the world. Now, we are actually sent into the, you and I, we're sent into the world. And this series is just about some tips, really, about how we can do that, how we can be that. But like Phil said on the first week, there's a couple of these things that need to be said, I think, in parenthesis. And for me this morning, it's not us and them. If we have that idea, we've missed the point. The incarnation becomes silly. See what I'm... Incarnation, meaning Jesus coming to earth, becomes rather silly if there's this big us and them thing going on, okay? And we need to be careful in standing for what we believe and not doing it in a way which becomes this us and them prospect, because it's just not how Jesus was. Okay, so listen, that's my thing today. So bottom line, what Michael Frost is getting at is this idea that you and I, to really be ready to go into this mission that all of us do have, is to listen. And really he's talking about listening. Oh, I love that. That's my favourite Trinity icon in a church, but we'll look at that one day. I love it because of the earthiness of it. Yeah. So it's all about listen. Listen to the Spirit. We're going to talk about that briefly. And then I want to talk about listening to the Spirit in others. Because I think that's really, really important. It's something that I have thought about for a long, long time, started to read about and think about. Hopefully nothing new. You won't listen to anything particularly new this morning, but hopefully I'll be able to re-establish a couple of things, or at least remind us all, including myself. The first one is the Spirit. Listen to the Spirit. What's that about? Now listen, I did become a Christian at a Pentecostal church, okay? And so I had the whole nine yards. I had the whole shebang. Listen to the Spirit meant lots of different stuff when I was a young guy, a 21-year-old. It meant crying a lot, repenting a lot. up the front. It meant expressions of our faith. It meant dancing. It meant falling over. It meant lots and lots of stuff, this idea of listening to the Spirit. And I got the idea that what I was supposed to do was almost like there was going to be like a megaphone. And as long as I listened, then I was going to hear what God was saying and what God would want me to do. It didn't go so well. Because I think what I did was I just kept saying, tell me all this stuff. And because I was so sincere, the encounter with God was brilliant. My encounter with Jesus was so life-changing. And so then I said, tell me everything, you know, and I'll just try to take it all on board. And I just try to take so much stuff on board. When actually, when we talk about listening to the Spirit, we're actually more just talking about, I'm trying to get it back to the last slide, by the way. There you go. We're actually just talking about being quiet and listening. Just being quiet and listening. John 16, 13 says, here we go. When, however, the Spirit comes, who reveals the truth about God, he will lead you into all the truth. He will not speak in his own authority, but he will speak of what he hears, and he tell you of things to come. He'll tell you things to come. So he's going to, this promise is that when the Spirit comes, and the Spirit has come, he is going to lead us into truth and he's going to show us things that are yet to come. Now, what this doesn't say, and I could take you to so many scriptures, what it doesn't say is then you're going to have to work your butt off to do this. You're going to have to wind your faith up. You're going to have to speak in a certain way at a certain time. You're going to have to watch your P's and Q's and everything you say and everything. It doesn't say any of that. It just says when the Spirit comes, he's going to lead us. He's going to guide us. He's going to speak to us. So all we need to do is listen. So, well, that's easy, Neil. Well, no, it's not easy. I know that. In fact, it's simple as simple. It's not easy because we have listened to a cacophony of noise around this stuff for only about 100 years. And so we think that we have to fulfill all these sets of criteria for the Spirit to speak to us. Again, that is just not logical. If the Spirit is at work in this world, and in particular, if the Spirit is residing in you as a Christian, if the Spirit is residing in you, it's not about putting together a package. This is just Western culture gone mad. Back in the day, in the patristic days, immediately after those first days, thank goodness they didn't get so caught up in this stuff. And thank goodness they did a lot of writing that we can look at today. I'm not going to spend any time on it today. But they talked about just getting alone with God. Just being alone. Simply creating a space where you could give the Spirit the opportunity to speak into your heart. And really the first part of the message today is to say, why don't you find a time and a place regularly where you can just be? So I'm setting aside this time, I don't know, 5 minutes, 10 minutes. Susanna Wesley put a tea towel over her head, for goodness sakes, because she had so many kids. She had so much to do. She literally put a tea towel over her head. And when she had the tea towel over her head, the kids couldn't bother her. That's what she did. That doesn't sound too deep and spiritual to me, and yet it really is. Because this cacophony of spiritual noise telling us all the millions of things we're supposed to do so that God will speak to us and not supposed to do, and we can't believe this, we can't believe that. You know, all this stuff, when actually Jesus just said, you know what, go into your closet and pray. Metaphor for go find somewhere. What suits you? For me, early morning is always best. For some of you, that wouldn't work really. Like, for example, my 19-year-old son, that wouldn't work awesomely well for him. Okay. But, you know, for me, first thing in the morning, it's great. We've just got a puppy on Wednesday, a little pup. And this pup was toilet trained where he came from. He's only 3 months old. Well, he obviously forgot that. He's obviously a forgetful pup. And my 19-year-old son committed to being the one that is going to sleep in his room for this first 2-3 weeks and to get it sorted. All right? And let me tell you how, and you're not going to be surprised at this. This is how it was sorted. For example, last night at 11:30, Kelly, outside with the pup, having 22-year-old son clean up the mess that the puppy did because Zachy was nowhere to be seen. So he's not good at this. For me, early morning, and I just take some time. Nothing mysterious. And yet, it is really mysterious. But that's life. That's the tension of life. That's the weird thing about being a follower of Jesus. We're absolutely in this natural world. We're actually part of this thing, that we're just part of the universe, part of everything. Yeah, don't worry, I'm not being syncretist. We're part of the whole deal. And yet at the same time, the mystery of God is that he will meet with us. So logic would dictate, take some time. Find a time and find a place. Now, for me, I was going to put it all on the slides, but I won't bore you with the details. I just was going to put down what I did. I just find a time and a place in the morning. I don't do it every morning. I sometimes forget. At other times, I get up too late. At other times, I get right there. I go to common prayer. It's a sort of an Anglican thing, but it's called Liturgy for Ordinary Radicals, all right, which I sort of put myself in. You know, I'm one of those radicals, David, that I heard a thing once years ago, and I've mentioned it here before, I'm sure. Years ago, this professor said, and I'm listening and going, I'm, you know, bright-eyed, bushy-tailed, left-wing academic, and he said, you know, the new radicals. And I thought, that's me. I'm one of the new radicals. He said, yeah, you know, the new radicals. And I almost said, yes, I do know, I'm one. I'm one of the new radicals. And he said, you know, they're the ones who want to take over the English department rather than the country. So I think, you know, Liturgy for Ordinary Radicals works for me. You know, I'm pretty mainstream. At the same time, I like to think I'm a little bit edgy. See, even the laughing's not very fair, is it? So I'll grab through this. But the point is, I found something, a framework that works simply for me, and it just rolls out like I say something, I say a couple of scriptures, I listen. And I start every morning with this. Just for your interest, that's the Lord's Prayer. See, beginning confession. It says, oh Lord, let my soul rise up to meet you as the day rises to meet the sun. Glory to the Father and to the Son and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. That just works for me. Doesn't have to work for you. That just begins my time of being there, which might go for 10 minutes, it might go for half an hour, but I'm just there. It's so funny, isn't it? We know that the scripture says the Holy Spirit resides in us. The Holy Spirit is bringing Christ into the world. The Holy Spirit is working throughout this world, and we're called to be missional, to be part of what he's doing. And instead of just giving him some time to speak, we come up with all these plans. And, you know, all these strictures about who we're supposed to be and who we can't be and all the rest of it. Now, listen. When I say listen, when I say he speaks, am I saying that you're going to hear voices? You know, sometimes people actually do hear voices. That's cool, no worries. But most of the time people don't, right? Some people, I know people that have heard audible voice. When my father-in-law died, way too young, at 58, he's the most beautiful man. You just look at Kelly. He was just the most amazing fella. And I was outside praying, and I heard a voice. It wasn't an audible voice, but it was like a voice. It was loud, but it was in my head, I think. Don't think it was outside. And the voice said loudly, Graham has just died. I did what most of us do. I ignored it and thought, that's a bit random, and kept praying. And then a few minutes later, I heard the same voice. But this voice was like gentle and beautiful, but authoritative. It wasn't just an impression. It was like a voice. It was a sentence. And Graham's just died. Sure enough, he had. And, you know, things moved on from there. So you know, that's one experience I had. But it's just one experience in 40 years of being a follower of Jesus. And it isn't the typical or the atypical or the non-typical. It's just that I was at a place. He spoke to me. It doesn't have to be like that. He can speak through scripture. He can speak just an impression that you might have. When it comes to mission, you know, you might have an impression to go do something, to be with somebody, to make a phone call. Can I just encourage you to go do it? Because you're not going to lose anything, actually. I've made some rather silly mistakes as I've kind of just listened and thought, I wonder if that was the Spirit. One time, a very brief story, a girl went missing. Sorry, she was found, but a girl went missing. One of the youth group from many, many years ago. I was praying about it at night. I woke up in the morning, and as I woke up, I sort of jumped out of bed, and this, actually an address in Wembley, came into my mind. Now, we lived a long, long way from Wembley, and I don't know, I'm guessing. You know, it was 19 Nansen Street, Wembley. And I thought, is this the Spirit? Is this where she is? So it took me about half an hour to work up the courage, but I drove. It was like 30, I was in Guildford, 30 minutes or something. I drove down, I went out in front of the house, and I thought, it's 6 a.m. This is true, I did this. It's 6 a.m. I thought, she might be in there. I might have heard the Spirit. I knocked on the door. A woman in her 20s, pregnant, about this big, walked out and said, what? It's 6 in the morning. And I said, well, just looking for a girl. Her name is such and such. Here's a photo. Have you seen her? And she said, no. Closed the door. Anyway, it turned out she'd spent... Turned out she wasn't lost at all. And yet, metaphorically, she was. Anyway, okay. The point really is that I had a go at it. You know, I had a go, that's all. I had listened and I heard wrong. But you know what? Nothing ventured, nothing gained. Now show some wisdom. You know, if you felt the Spirit said, go hit somebody over the head with a brick, it probably isn't the Spirit. So find a time and a place. And listen, find a framework that just works for you. I've used 10 different frameworks over this 40 years. The one I'm using works for me. It's not complex. It just gives me some space in the middle. I actually spend some time thinking about a time when I felt really close to God as a contemplation. But you find your way. Look up Richard Rohr on YouTube. He talks about contemplation. He's a Catholic priest. Excellent on contemplation. Richard Rohr, R-O-H-R. Just got 10-minute video clips that you can watch of his, and he'll talk about being silent. All right. But the thing that I really wanted to get to in particular today is that seeing the Spirit in others, or listening to the Spirit, I'm sorry, in others. Matthew 25, and I'm going to read a bunch of verses before I read those. Matthew 25, it says in my Good News Bible, the final judgment. So this will be cheery, it'll be about hell, won't it? Okay. You know, when all the bad people, you know, the ones who didn't go to a Pentecostal church, put their hand up at the right time and say a particular prayer, all those people, they'll be burning in hell for eternity. Cheery stuff. Okay. Matthew 25, verse 31. When the Son of Man comes as a king, and all the angels with him, he will sit on his royal throne, and the people of all the nations will be gathered before him. Then he will divide them into two groups, just as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. He will put the righteous people on his right and the others on his left. Then the king will say to the people on his right, "Come, you who are blessed by my Father, come and possess the kingdom which has been prepared for you ever since the creation of the world. I was hungry and you fed me, thirsty and you gave me a drink. I was a stranger and you received me in your homes, naked and you clothed me. I was sick and you took care of me, in prison and you visited me." And then the righteous, naturally enough, I'd be answering this question, will then answer him, "When, Lord, did we ever see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you a drink? When did we ever see you a stranger or welcome you in our homes, or naked and clothe you? When did we ever see you sick or in prison and visit you?" The king will reply, "I tell you, whatever you did, whenever you did this for the least of these, for one of the least important of these members of my family, you did it for me." So when we talk about listening, we are talking about take the time and the place to get yourself into a posture of listening, whatever that looks like for you. Spend some time, figure it out. But secondly, and incredibly importantly, in this earthy, messy world that we live in, the scripture says these profound words. I'll just read a couple of these verses again. "I was hungry and you fed me, thirsty and you gave me a drink. I was a stranger and you received me in your homes, naked and you clothed me. I was sick and you took care of me, in prison and you visited me." The king will reply, "I tell you, whenever you did this for one of the least important of these followers of mine, you did it for me." So I know this isn't terribly revolutionary, but here's the basic storyline there. What Jesus Christ is saying to us as missional followers is when you go and help somebody who is in need, whatever that need might be, you're not so much bringing Christ as you're finding him. He makes it pretty clear. And this is one of the famous discourses on the end of time. And I think it's really challenging. And I don't think it's challenging because of some disembodied this or that. I see this as challenging because of the very embodied truth that is within it. Which is, if I see somebody who's really sick and I go and minister to that sickness, a Mother Teresa or a Neil Chisholm or a John Sear or a whoever, then I am actually finding Christ. Because I saw this video once, and I remember being a youth leader, and there's some truth in this, of course. You know, the idea of we see the homeless and so we then buy them something to eat. And I saw it once, a guy named Nahum. I was down in Vic Park with him. I was walking along, and there was a homeless guy, and I saw the homeless guy, and I saw him in need, and I just moved a little bit out of his way so I didn't have to think too much about him. I had stuff to do. And Nahum, who was this young gay guy, who had been excluded because of that, somehow, he bought this guy breakfast. No fanfare, no big deal, no accolade, just did it. Here's the thing, allow me to say this in this way. When he did that, he was finding Christ, unlike in the Christian context that he was in. So the challenge for you and I is to live into this scripture. But again, the logic. God is in the world. The Spirit is moving in the world. He's doing stuff. And we get to be a part of what he's doing. That's being missional. We need to find where he is doing things so that we can then add embodiment, right? Flesh and blood, hands and feet and stuff. That we can say, here I am, representing the church of Jesus Christ on this earth, the new community, the new creation, what it's going to look like when things finally finish, when this mess is over that we're seeing at the moment. This is what it'll look like, me wiping your brow. And we get to do that by Jesus, by the power of the Spirit, infiltrating this world. So that when we do that, we're actually meeting him. Now that's a bit mysterious, right? But the scripture faces up and says, if you look after somebody in need, if you're a good Samaritan, you're not just going to be doing a good thing in the name of Jesus in a missional way. You are somehow interconnecting with me. But because we're so dual in our thinking, it's real hard, and it's hard for me too. You know, I don't kind of understand that. And yet, here's the scripture saying it. So what we can do is live into it. You know, so how am I going to listen? How am I going to be missional, Neil? What's your great advice this morning? Well, here's my first bit of advice. Don't get stressed about being evangelical. Because some people are good at it and some people are not. Phil said that on the first week. But what we can do is see what's around us. We can take some time to listen on a regular basis. And then we can see what's around us. What can we get involved with? How can we get involved? Nearly quarter past. Let me just finish by saying that I'm so bad at this. So you join the club. I'm naturally wired up. I can do the contemplation thing for hours. I'm just naturally wired up like that. I can pray and sing and cry and lie in the corner. I can do all that, no worries at all, right? So I kind of get that bit, my first bit, the listen bit, right? It's kind of, to be honest, it's not a tough thing for me, but the other is. This other's really tough. But see how that is? This is the wonder of being a follower of Jesus. It's not this Gnostic spiritual thing. It's this the spirit and the reality of the body and the life in this world coming together, just like Jesus in the incarnation, just like him. And so the challenge is, go look for Christ means, in Matthew 25 terminology, go look for need and see what you can do about it. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for the book that you gave us, that you wanted us to have. Thank you for the stuff it says. Thank you for the challenge it brings us. Thank you for the way your Spirit empowers it in the most amazing way. Lord, this week, help us to get about the business of being missional in the way that you did it. And we ask for this in Jesus' name. Amen. And I'm going to ask.
Each week at West City, we are sent out to be the church in the world. We do this by declaring the following benediction. May you know God's enabling as you join us in living it out. We come together as the church to be reminded of the go of Christ. So go and feed the hungry. Go and clothe the naked. Go and fight for justice. Go and end oppression. Go and proclaim anew the old, old story. Go and reach those who are running from God and God's church. Go and associate with those who don't look like us, think like us, act like us, or even like us. And do it all in the name of the one who sent us. His name is Jesus.